From the Fancy Lady Cowgirl headquarters, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to everyone who embodies the cowgirl or cowboy spirit, regardless of what you wear or where you live. The guests on this show are a little fancy, a little ranchy, and they all have a kick-ass story to tell. I'm your host, Courtney Dehoff. Join me for the ride. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. I am absolutely thrilled for my guest today because I have just had such a girl crush on her and her sister and the brand. Sarah Means with Miriam Crosby is joining me. Hello, Miss Sarah. How are you?
Hey, Courtney. I'm so well, and thank you so much for having me. I'm so so excited and so flattered to be here. Thank you.
It is absolutely my honor. So, Sarah, Miriam Crosby, you know, the Fancy Lady Cowgirls are probably very familiar with your bespoke cowboy boot brand. I mean, we're all just sort of girl crushing on it from behind the scenes. It's been so fun following you. And full disclosure, I sort of started following you just because I loved the cowboy boots. And I was seeing you pop up in little publications like Vogue magazine and Marie Claire, and Jenna Bush Hager was talking about you on the Today Show. And I thought, wow, this is so cool to see a little piece of the cowgirl spirit sort of taking over this mainstream fashion conversation. But I absolutely, Sarah, fell in love when I got on your website and I read your story. And I thought, oh my goodness, Sarah, you and your sister Lizzie are cowgirls, real cowgirls from a ranch in West Texas. And I thought, this is the epitome of a fancy lady cowgirl. So Sarah, I want you to kind of start at the beginning. How did this all come to be? What was your, you know, childhood like, and how did the cowboy boot sort of play a big role in your experience growing up?
Sure. Well, Courtney, you're sweet to say all of that. And thank you so much for being so complimentary. We're so grateful that the collection has resonated with folks. And, you know, honestly, it's the product, I think, that really speaks for itself. You know, I think the cowboy boot silhouette is truly so romantic. And then we've been so fortunate to really design, you know, and build a collection that I think is resonating, not just with fancy cowgirls, but with other people who will allow to be fancy cowgirls if they want to be, right?
Absolutely.
But to answer your question, yes. So Lizzie and I grew up on my family's working cattle ranch in West Texas. And we, outside of Marfa, really outside of Valentine, if you know the area at all, it's kind of in the Big Bend in far West Texas. And we are the fifth generation to be raised on the ranch. So it's been in my family for a long time. And, you know, we just wore cowboy boots because it really just never occurred to us not to. But it wasn't until we moved to New York City that we kind of realized, you know, we of course took our boots with us. It was just, you know, didn't make sense kind of when I got dressed in the morning not to wear cowboy boots. And inevitably we were stopped on the street. And so we laughed, but we really owe, you know, the collection and the birth of Miriam Crosby to just really cool and chic strangers that would walk by us on the sidewalk in New York and say, oh my gosh, I love your boots. Where do I get those? Or hey, cool kicks, or, you know, whatever it was. We just sort of felt like we didn't know exactly where to direct people when they wanted to buy the boots that we had on, because so many of them were custom. And so we noticed a hole in the market and felt like that, you know, was something that we needed to fill.
Oh, that's so cool. And I love that you mention your experience in New York, because Fancy Lady Cowgirl, sort of that term, that movement, was very much born because of my time living in New York. What I love about you and Miriam Crosby is I think that sometimes we don't realize how attractive a cowboy boot or the idea of a cowboy or a cowgirl is to people living in these big cities and in these sort of, you know, urban mainstream markets. We forget that, you know, it's not just cowgirls and cowboys working on ranches who are wearing cowboy boots. And I think that we absolutely need to open the door to those people and say, hey, come on in. And I just, your story is so cool. Even the name has a very special meaning. So how did you come up with Miriam Crosby?
Play off your first point though. You know, I agree. And it's so fun that you see that. We really feel like our kind of mission in a way is to get cowboy boots on as many folks as possible. You know, they should be a staple in everybody's wardrobe. And that's why we get out of bed in the morning, is to make sure that they're accessible and that people are comfortable in them, because, you know, to your point, they're the most superior footwear. But as far as the name, you're sweet to ask. So So Marin is a play on my great-grandfather's name. His name was Marion Otis Means. He went by Bug affectionately, and he was super close to my father, to my dad. This would have been my dad's grandfather. And my dad always tells fun stories of him, and he was, you know, kind of a dapper cowboy, had a ton of personality and was a great family man, and had a huge influence on my dad's life, as did his wife, who actually my sister is named for. So that's where we got Marin. And then Crosby is a pasture on our ranch at home, and then also the street in Soho in New York where we lived. And we love the connotations of, you know, kind of our roots meeting our New York roots, and kind of the ranch meeting fashion, and just that word just kind of kept popping up wherever we were. So it's that's the name. But quickly, while we're talking about New York, tell me why. I know that because of TV, but tell me why you spent so much time in New York and LA. Was it all for work?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. I even still to this day, I had always dreamed of living in New York. I always wanted to land the big TV contract that would take me to the big city. And you know, Sarah, it never came. And so I was actually in between hosting a network show here in Dallas that they had canceled, as they do, you know, in television. And I sort of had this downtime as television host, actors, sort of that creative. We sometimes find ourselves in that in-between spot. And I thought, man, life is so short. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go to New York. My best friend and I went together. We rented an apartment in the West Village. We stayed there for a month. It was fabulous, like very Sex in the City. We loved it. But the West Village is very expensive. And then I literally, Sarah, I moved up to Chelsea. I slept on my best childhood friend's couch, who I grew up high school rodeoing with. And we lived together in 400 square feet on West 20th in Chelsea. And it was so fun. And the coolest part about it is, you know, Paige and I would go out, both blonde. And so the first question we would get, are you guys sisters? No. And what we discovered is, if I said, well, I'm a TV host, and she's a musician, and she said, well, I'm a singer songwriter, people were like, oh, okay, off, you know, and right back to what they were doing. But if we looked at each other and we said, oh, well, we're cowgirls, she was a rodeo queen and I was a roper, suddenly this, like, everyone in the bar would sort of, like, you know, in a movie when everything comes to a screeching halt, people would stop and they wanted to know more about it. And they were so intrigued. And that was really my first experience, realizing that people want to be a part of this community. They want to be a part of the cowboy and cowgirl culture, whether they live in a big city and they have never been on a ranch before in their lives. People love that. And so that's very much where the Fancy Lady Cowgirl was born. And it was sort of a combination of, I discovered that there was an interest in sort of, you know, these big urban markets. And then I was getting a lot of pushback from the rural community that I loved. They would say things like, ugh, why, you know, why are you posting photos at New York Fashion Week? That's so silly. You look silly. You're not a real cowgirl. And so I sort of branded Fancy Lady Cowgirl to say, hey, I can be a fancy lady who goes to New York Fashion Week and hangs out with people like Sarah Means and still be a rancher and a cowgirl at heart. And so that is sort of my long answer to your wonderful question. And I'm so glad that you asked. I've always loved New York.
Oh, I know, I miss it. Even this time of year when it's so dark and depressing in January, I miss certain things about the city so much. It's a good spot.
It is. And you know, we always laugh. I moved to New York in January. People were like, oh, that's the worst. We loved it. We had so much fun. We were miserable. We had fun. It was a really lovely experience. And one of the things, so speaking of New York, you launched, you know, this boot brand. And I want to talk about how you sort of went from this very, a startup, you know, it was new. You launched this brand and then suddenly, and I know it wasn't sudden for you, I know there was a lot of hard work that went into it, but you're popping up in Vogue magazine, like a little designer by the name of Prabal Gurung is suddenly contacting you because he needs a pair of cowboy boots to wear to the wedding of Barbara Bush, and he doesn't know where to find a great pair. Talk to me about sort of that experience and the evolution of the brand from sort of just, you know, this idea that two cowgirls in New York had to suddenly you're just all over, you know, the highest levels of fashion and working with these amazing people?
Yeah, well, again, we're so lucky. And it really, you know, at the end of the day, it's so much about our product. And, you know, we put as much energy as possible and as much thought and as much love into each and every design. And we're so grateful that it's resonating with people. But, you know, we really start the design process thinking about three things. You know, inevitably, we kind of design for ourselves. So we kind of start and say, what is it that I really want to have in my wardrobe right now? What is it that's going to make my life easier when I'm trying to get dressed and out the door in the morning? You know, Lizzie, especially my sister, is a mom of four, all under the age of six. And so she doesn't have time in the mornings trying to run a business and get her kids out the door to think about it, right? Like, fashion's got to be easy and a uniform and functional. And so we always kind of are asking ourselves what it is that we wish we had to throw on. And then secondly, we always really, you know, focus on obviously kind of what's coming down the catwalk and what we feel like is really relevant in high fashion. But we always, always try to anchor that with, you know, our memories and kind of what inspires us about West Texas particularly, and just kind of our memories of home and our experiences at home when we go. And so really, I think it's the combination of those three things, right? So kind of the practicality with which we approach each and every design, and the personal, you know, nature there. We don't make a single boot that we don't love or both want to wear, which is why we both have so many of our boots, and it's really getting to be an issue, Courtney, in my closet. But then, you know, second, again, you know, kind of the high fashion and trying to sort of be as relevant as possible in that, and stay, you know, trend forecasts and stay ahead of everything that's changes so quickly in that world, which you understand. And then also, you know, really rooting that in what's authentic to West Texas, what's authentic to the silhouette and to the history there. And then all of our boots are truly, you know, kind of heirlooms, or they are heirlooms, not kind of heirlooms, in that they are made entirely by hand in South Texas. And we've so fortunate to have an uncle that owns Rios of Mercedes, with which I'm sure you're familiar. It's a big cowboy boot company and manufacturing facility based down in the south, in the valley in South Texas. And he very graciously agreed to take on our production. So all of our boots are made at the Rios of Mercedes factory by hand. And it's amazing. You know, many of our artisans with whom we work have worked with Rios and have built boots for decades. In fact, one of our favorite men down there has been working with my uncle for upwards of five decades, which is 50 years, which is wild. And they're masters of their craft. And it's such an honor, honestly, to Lizzie and me to be able to purvey the amazing things that they do to a customer that appreciates it. And we just really feel like it's our little, you know, it's a huge piece of our heritage. And it's very much our responsibility to continue and to guard that workmanship really, you know, really carefully and to continue to be creative with it.
Part of the reason that this has been so successful is because this is rooted in family and it's rooted in tradition. And I'm taking notes, you know, as I try to build my Fancy Lady Cowgirl brand. Sarah, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just sort of winging it as I go. But I love what you said, that you and Lizzie don't design anything that you don't love, that you wouldn't wear. And one of the things that really attracted me to your boots and your collections, full disclosure, I am a all black girl. And I sort of give New York a little bit of credit for that. I would never have imagined that I would be attracted to a cowboy boot that was anything but black. But one of the really cool things that I love about you have metallic boots. There is a boot that says yeehaw, that before I die, it is going to be my life mission to own a pair of those one day. Now, if you had told me that someday I would be attracted to something that wasn't all black and chic and very, you know, whatever, I love that you guys have a little bit of fun, I feel like, with your boot designs. Am I reading into that right?
Oh, absolutely. We have a ton of fun. And I think, you know, while I so admire that you are a monochrome gal and probably so chic and minimal, I'm frankly the opposite. Nobody would accuse me of being a minimalist. So I think more is more, and you know, never been afraid of color. But you're sweet to say that. It's fun. We definitely don't shy away from color, and it's been super fun too. I really handle our production, and so I am tasked with, you know, sourcing the crazy metallic leathers that we use and finding, you know, the coolest pearlized ostrich and the fun kind of more wild things that we do are really what excites me kind of to the core, because at the end of the day, I'm a huge fashion nerd. And it's so fun for me. So you're sweet to be complimentary of the collection, but absolutely more is more. And, you know, again, I think part of that just comes from kind of, you know, where we were raised. Like the mountains in West Texas are forever colorful, and you know, they change with the sun, they change with the moon. It's kind of weird. Sometimes you even look and kind of notice that they move during the day because of the sun and the colors, and they're purple and they're blue and they're green and yellow. And I think, again, that's just kind of deep in our gut, and something we are always drawn to.
Sarah, what does being a cowgirl, what does that mean to you? What does that look like when you think of, you know, the word cowgirl and what a cowgirl represents? I love to ask everyone this question because everyone has a different answer, and that is 100% the fancy lady cowgirl way. I just love hearing other women's reaction when they hear the word cowgirl. So what does a cowgirl mean to you?
Ooh, great question. I'm going to go strong. I'm going to go bold, and I'm going to go independent. And all of those are probably lessons that I've learned just kind of from watching the women in my family, and in fairness, the men too. My dad's consummate cowboy and always set, you know, great example for us. I think too, you know, we're reared so that we were expected to do kind of exactly what the boys were doing. So we have a brother in between us, Coley, and, you know, my dad expected us to be up when my dad was up when Coley was up, and we were all, you know, saddle our own horses and headed out to, you know, round up or whatever it was that we were doing on the ranch. There was sort of never any delineation made because we were, you know, quote, girls. And I really, really appreciate that so much as I get older. And I'm so grateful to my parents for always treating us like that, because it's been a great life lesson. But I think part of that's where kind of independence comes from. And, you know, and then as far as bold, I think you have to make decisions and stick to them and kind of follow your gut, which it sure sounds like you understand and do. And then strong, because, you know, I think it's a really, as with so many ways of life, I think it's a particularly, you know, it can be a really difficult one and a little bit, you know, elemental and things like that. But what about you? How would you answer that, ma'am?
Oh, that was a good answer. And by the way, like, I should just have you be my co-host. I mean, I love that you're throwing things back at me. That's what I always wish my guests would do. You know, to me, I would echo many of the same sentiments that you just shared. And I would like to add, I think a cowgirl, a true cowgirl, is all inclusive. And I think you and Lizzie and your brand really represent that. Because like I said, Fancy Lady Cowgirl was born because the minute I didn't look the traditional part, the minute I started, you know, hanging out in places like New York City or Prague or wherever I was traveling, the minute I started doing anything that was sort of out of the norm of just like ranching and riding and, you know, being that hardcore cowgirl, people started to write me off like, she's not legit. She's not the real deal. And I just really noticed a need for there to be a community of women that said, hey, wait a minute. A cowgirl's not defined by what she wears. She is not defined by what she looks like. It's a state of mind, just like you said, bold, and, you know, I would add brave and tenacious and aggressive. And I just think that there are so many women out there who came from backgrounds like we did that have branched out and are doing really cool things that sometimes get left out or are not part of the conversation because we're not that traditional, you know, stereotypical cowgirl, I guess. But what I've discovered through Fancy Lady Cowgirl and through sort of launching my brand, oh my goodness, there are so many cool cowgirls out there doing so many cool things. And it's just like you and Sarah, you know, I discovered you on social media. I discovered you through my friend Katie and through my friend Natalie. And I am always amazed by all of the cool things that cowgirls are doing. But I think you really hit it on the head when you said all of the success that, you know, your brand has had, all these cowgirls who are growing businesses and doing cool things, it's all rooted in those deep values that we were raised on. You know, it's all rooted in that deep tradition of the American West. And so, yeah, I just think cowgirls are, I think they're awesome. And you know,
Your message of inclusivity, Courtney. You know, it's funny. My mom, for example, is absolutely not not a cowgirl. She was raised in El Paso, and her dad was a doctor, and she went to, you know, college in the Northeast, and married my dad. And she always laughs. She said, you know, he actually asked her to marry him 3 times, and she said no the first two because she just didn't feel like she could live on a ranch. And in fairness, especially then, I think, you know, they got married in the 80s, and it was even more, you know, life was more remote then, and there was a party phone line to our house, which was a huge luxury. Not everybody had those on ranches, but, you know, if she was trying to call her mom and cry about being homesick, my grandmother could listen in, and, you know, all of that. But I think she, you know, having had the opportunity to live on the ranch now, you know, she's embraced all of it and is so about that lifestyle too. And so I think while we are so lucky to have been raised in it and to have those roots, I think you can develop those roots, you know, later on in life as well. And we laugh, you know, now my mom loves to come to Dallas and of course is here a lot to see us. But she, you know, the traffic, all I hear about is, oh, the traffic, you know, she just can't deal. And neighbors, I mean, can you imagine having neighbors? That's pretty funny. So to your point, I think we're, you know, inclusivity is so important and you can, it can be developed too. It's in all of us, don't you think?
No, I think it absolutely is. And it's just, you know, it's been so fun to just see all the ways that, you know, sort of this cowboy culture is sort of starting to seep into, you know, areas that maybe we never imagined it would. And I think it's absolutely necessary, Sarah. I think we need to be allowing people in who have never been a part of it or have no experience, because that's the only way that our culture is going to thrive and that it's going to grow. And so I am just always like open armed. Anybody who wants to, you know, I have a makeup artist in Dallas that I love and a fashion stylist I work with, and neither of them have any background, you know, on a ranch or riding a horse or anything. And they call themselves fancy lady cowgirls because they 100% are. They love the lifestyle. They support the mission. They love women. And so it's just been so neat to see people embracing that cowgirl title and realizing that you don't need any credentials to do so.
And Courtney, you do such a good job too of celebrating women. And I want to applaud you for that. I think it's so special. I don't mean this critically at all, particularly in, you know, ag has forever been kind of, I think has like a pretty male dominated connotation. And that's not always the case. And so I'm so proud of you for really celebrating women in ag. And I think it's super cool. And to your point, you know, it takes all of us. It's very, very, very neat.
Oh, thank you. That is so kind. Oh my gosh, Sarah, we're going to have to get together for sure in real life.
You for a margarita.
Yes, we're going to have to get together, do margaritas. I feel like we have so much more to chat about. I want to be respectful of your time, of course. I want to ask one more question. This is just me because I'm trying to envision, I'm like, okay, would I pass out? Would I have a heart attack? How would I react to this? So you're growing this brand. I just want to know, like, the first time that you get a call or an email from someone at Vogue magazine, or when Prabal Gurung reaches out and says, hey, I need a pair of cowboy boots. Like, what goes on internally? Does it not faze you because you know that your product is amazing and it's standing out on its own and you knew this was going to happen? Or did you have a like, holy, you know what moment?
Oh, 100% a holy, you know what moment. We, you know, for sure. And it's so exciting, but you know, it's funny, Lizzie and I laugh. Something like that happens and you have the holy, you know what moment, but in a way it's a little bit of a sinking feeling. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you kind of realize that in such a good way that this will everything has legs, right? And usually they're good legs. And so it's a great feeling. And it's so exciting. So yeah. You know, when Prabal really kind of knew us personally and, knew who we were, who Miriam Crosby was, because of a personal friendship he had, as you mentioned. And so he reached out kind of via our PR group. And then Vogue, actually in our most recent inclusion, which we're so honored to be included in the spotlight on, you know, American designers that are kind of between the coasts, actually was just an email to info@mirancrosby.com. You know, in the same way that somebody wondering if they should order a size 7.5 or a size 8 emails, info@mirancrosby.com. So that was really wild. And again, you know, I think both of those happened really organically and all of that. So we're just so grateful. We're super lucky and are so, so glad that the collection's resonating with everybody. And, but yeah, holy shit, I'll say it.
Sure. Yeah, you can cuss on this. I didn't know if I knew you well enough to say shit, but I was like, I would definitely say shit. And I love, you know, what you, I think there's such a beautiful representation in the, yeah, Vogue reached out via our info at Marion Crosby. I just think that's such a beautiful representation that, like, sometimes those holy shit moments, it's not going to be, you know, hello, this is Anna Wintour calling from. It can just be something so normal and almost common. And I think that gives people like me and hopefully my listeners, that gives us hope that, like, the big Monty, like, it's out there. And it, we don't have to be a household name for someone to find us and to believe in what we're doing. And I think that I love that. I love that you shared that. I was like, oh my gosh, they reached out via info. I was like, maybe someday somebody cool will reach out via, you know, Courtney at CourtneyDehoff.com. Vogue, if you're listening, I'm available. Sarah, that was so great. And oh my goodness, this has been such an incredible pleasure to have you on the podcast. Like I said, we're going to get together. I always joke, but full disclosure, it's not a joke. I always say I invite people on my podcast because it's how I force them to be my friend.
Oh, I get it, sister, for sure. And I'm in.
Okay.
Already.
I love that. Well, Sarah, thank you so very much for joining the Cowgirl Problems podcast. I will link all of the Marion Crosby social accounts. I will link the website. I'll link some Vogue articles so everybody can find you and start following you and just celebrate everything that you and Lizzie are doing. It has been a pleasure.
Courtney, you're a dream. Thank you so much.